If you were unable to attend this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, we have good news for you. We produced an audio DVD of the conference. The recording contains all of the speakers' presentations, my Divine Service sermon, and the hymn sing. We'll send you the audio DVD for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. Click the audio DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can also order by check. Make your $300 check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Order your audio DVD of the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
This has been a three-year, well-funded effort by the most militant wing of the anti-abortion movement in this country to try to entrap doctors and, of course, highly doctored videos, which show absolutely, doctors repeatedly said, it's all been edited out, Planned Parenthood does not at all profit from fetal tissue donation, which is an important element of healthcare research in this country.
That's Planned Parenthood's president, Cecile Richards, speaking on ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos, explaining there in the first answer to the first question, one of her talking points, a highly edited video. She repeats that again and again and again. Of course, that's part of Planned Parenthood's response to two videos so far that show high-level officials of Planned Parenthood selling the body parts of aborted children. We're going to be talking about that appearance on George Stephanopoulos. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will be our guest for the first half hour or so of Issues Etc. here in the second hour. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Pastor Tom Baker will join us. We'll teach a Sunday school lesson with him on the return of Jesus, the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a regular guest. She's senior editor at The Federalist, a guest on network television shows ACE 360, Reliable Sources, Fox and Friends, and The Kelly File. She's written recently an article called The Four Most Embarrassing Things Cecile Richards Said in Defense of Planned Parenthood. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be here with you.
Molly, about 2 weeks out now since the bomb exploded, there have been successive concussions from the bomb, and I take it more to come. How do you think Planned Parenthood's PR response is going? How successful has it been so far?
Well, they are definitely working very hard. They are spending a lot of time trying to respond to what we've found in the videos. Some of what they've said has just been embarrassingly bad. They've been tone deaf about how nauseating people find these videos. The one thing that they've really been consistent about, and this is a very common talking point anytime any undercover journalists expose anything that Planned Parenthood is doing, is they've been claiming that the videos are highly edited. And that's the one talking point that has sort of been consistent over the past few weeks.
She was interviewed by George Stephanopoulos. Overall, how did Stephanopoulos do in addressing this?
Well, given who George Stephanopoulos is and what his background is, you might remember he worked for the Clintons. He's very close to the Clintons. He was recently embroiled in a controversy where we learned that he was a donor to the Clinton Foundation. You know, you might expect it that he would just be throwing softballs at Cecile Richards. He actually tried to push back a little bit. I mean, he didn't do a terribly good job pushing back, but he did try to push back a little bit. He had some facts that he brought out in response to her talking points that contradicted her talking points. So it was actually better than I expected it would be.
So you just mentioned the constant claim from the very beginning, and that is that these videos have been highly edited. What's the implication that Planned Parenthood is trying to make there? What do they want those who hear that to infer about the videos?
Right. So this is their most important talking point, and it's the one they keep repeating over and over and the one they keep sending out people to say. What they want people to believe is that you can't trust what's in the videos because of the editing. And I just find that a very interesting claim, mostly because unlike almost everything else out there, journalistically speaking, the people who released these videos, yes, they did have a shortened video with just clips of what they thought were sort of the worst parts, but they also released the complete unedited footage at the exact same time they released the shortened video. So anybody who wants to see the full context of the discussion or how they were able to lead the conversation to go to the place where one of the women talked about how she might bump up the price if she found out out that other Planned Parenthood affiliates were getting more money and how she joked that she wanted a Lamborghini, where she talked about using a less crunchy abortion procedure in order to better enable them to harvest the organs intact from the children. You know, all these things. If you want to see those things in full context, you can go to YouTube and see them right this second. So that's what's so fascinating about how this talking point has been able to be carried out, because the media should be pointing out, yes, there are shortened, edited clips, but there's also the full footage for everyone to see.
Has the New York Times corrected? I've seen a lot of mentions about this on Twitter from you and others at the Federalist. Have the New York Times corrected their assertion made last week that the shortened videos were released first, and then only after a cry of protest from the grassroots were the full videos released?
Yeah, I first contacted the New York Times about the factual error in their news story 6 or 7 days ago, and it has still not been corrected. I checked this morning, and I thought it was interesting because a few days ago they noted that there was a criminal probe related to Hillary Clinton's email server, and Hillary Clinton complained, and they changed it within minutes. And here they have an actual factual error in a story. They've been notified of it. That multiple people have notified them of the factual error. I've directly, you know, told the reporter in question, you know, wrote a detailed note to the corrections desk, and they have not corrected it. It's actually astounding to me, because the New York Times is a very biased publication, but usually they try to correct factual errors, and they just haven't even responded to me thus far.
The second thing that was kind of strongly found in Cecile Richards' interview with George Stephanopoulos was I don't know if she came out and said it or not, but that the people who made this video have some sort of illicit connections in the pro-life community. What did she say?
Now, this was another thing that I thought was fascinating and really spoke to how she was sort of flailing about. Usually, Cecile Richards is a very polished, very effective communicator. Well, she got her talking point out about the editing, and then she kind of veered off into this territory that I was very surprised that Stephanopoulos didn't push back on. She suggested that the people behind the videos are also affiliated with the bombings of clinics or the murdering of abortion doctors. And, I mean, there's nothing out there to substantiate this charge. And if there were, by the way, this would be a major story. But she just said it, and Stephanopoulos didn't push back at all. In fact, the people that we know who are behind the videos are, in fact, devout pro-life activists, but of the very sort of, you know, nice, pious, Catholic, pro-life activist type, not some of the you know, there have been people who have engaged in violence in the name of the pro-life movement. That's actually always been condemned by pro-lifers for the obvious reason that they are pro-lifers. And it is really speaking to how desperate Cecile Richards and Planned Parenthood are that they would try to suggest ties between these groups of people.
Do you think that second point, you know, these are monsters who are bombing clinics or something like that, and making videos about us, do you think that's part of the official talking points there, or do you think Richards went off script with Stephanopoulos?
Actually, it is definitely part of the official talking points. From the very first days the scandal broke, Planned Parenthood's public relations firm sent out sort of talking points and notes to reporters that, by the way, were filled with flaws and errors. But they also suggested that reporters investigate the people who are making the videos. And you have to understand, Planned Parenthood is in a very difficult position. They have multiple videos showing high-level officials casually chatting and joking about harvesting organs from the children they have recently killed via abortion. So much of what Planned Parenthood does is about denying the humanity of the children they abort. Well, you can't say that they're not human and then all of a sudden say, oh, but their very human organs are valuable precisely because they are human. So this is a devastating blow to the abortion lobby, and they are desperate to get some moral footing here. And they know that when they're, you know, just to a casual observer, you look at this and you're sick to your stomach. They're working very hard to diminish the standing of the journalists who are uncovering all of this that we're learning about.
Did Cecile Richards inadvertently throw a little, and a terrible pun, but throw a little blood in the water when she claimed that this practice of harvesting and selling baby body parts of aborted children isn't widespread.
Yes, it was. So one of the questions that Stephanopoulos asked her was if she knew how many clinics were engaged in the harvesting of these organs and if she knew how much money they were bringing in. She either didn't know how much money was being brought in or she simply didn't want to answer that question. But she claimed that very few clinics were involved in this. And I think she was trying to say that actually very few states allow this fetal organ harvesting. But the question was how many clinics? She said very few. It's only allowed in a certain number of states. And Stephanopoulos said, when you said very few, what did you mean? And she said fewer than five. Now, already you can read through the transcripts of the first two interviews and know that we're talking about far, far, far more than five clinics. I mean, there are eight affiliates, which is sort of regional districts of Planned Parenthood in California alone. And one of the people says that every single affiliate is partnered up with a biologics firm, meaning an organ harvesting firm, except for one, which is Pasadena. So that's seven affiliates, and who knows how many dozens of clinics there are involved in the abortion or doing the abortions there. And there are 700 clinics nationwide that Planned Parenthood operates. So one of the things that's been interesting about these undercover journalists is they've been using Planned Parenthood's own words against them. So after the first video came out, which was this gruesome discussion of how to modify abortion procedures so that you can make sure you get the baby's heart or liver, lungs, brain, et cetera, Cecile Richards came out and said, this is not about money. We don't make any money. Well, they used her saying that, and then they went right into the next video showing another Planned Parenthood official down and out haggling over the price of baby parts. So if she says something, and she was trying to downplay this scenario, she was trying to suggest that it only happens in a few states, but she actually said it happens in fewer than five clinics. Well, that's going to be really easy to refute just based on the footage we've seen thus far, but also presumably in the footage that's to come, because the journalists say that there are 10 to 12 additional videos coming.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is our guest on this Monday afternoon, July the 22nd. We're talking about Planned Parenthood's president's first interview since the video release of high-level officials selling the body parts of aborted children. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is senior editor at The Federalist. We'll be right back.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Lutheran Service Book is a hymnal with more than 600 hymns, Luther's Small Catechism, 150 psalms, daily prayers, and more. And you can take it with you wherever you go with the new Lutheran Service Book ebook edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, a devotional resource when you're on the go. Lutheran Service Book ebook edition, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, issuesetc.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.
Women trust Planned Parenthood, and I look forward to anyone who wants to look into our policies and procedures. I mean, we've said that to Congress. The facts are
so, but when these doctors are talking about, and this gets graphic, but they're talking about less crunchy ways to perform these abortions so that the organs can be preserved, what's happening there? Are they just lying?
No, that's absolute. All of this is taken out of context.
That's an excerpt from Sunday's interview with Planned Parenthood's President Cecile Richards on ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos. Typical of kind of the answer that she's giving there, the main topic talking point here is that what you see on those videos is highly edited, taken out of context. I don't know what context would possibly redeem a less crunchy method of abortion. That's a pretty graphic phrase. Yes, indeed. We're talking with Molly Ziegler, Hemingway senior editor at The Federalist, about Planned Parenthood's response to these videos, especially now that Cecile Richards has given her first television interview. Molly, why is it so important that Cecile Richards repeated in that interview with Stephanopoulos that Planned Parenthood is not for profit?
I think people think of nonprofits as places where, you know, you don't make money. And that's what we mean when we say a nonprofit. We say any money they make has to be invested back into the organization. It's not for the benefit of shareholders. But that doesn't mean that we're talking about a little bit of money. I mean, Planned Parenthood is $1 billion-plus financial concern. Cecile Richards alone makes more than $500,000 a year. So even if, you know, let's just say you make a bunch of money off of selling these fetal parts, as long as all that money goes to Cecile Richards' salary, you're still technically a nonprofit. You're not giving money to shareholders. That doesn't mean, again, that we're not talking about money. And one of the things that's interesting is the journalists who uncovered all this stuff, they said they never set out to show that Planned Parenthood was making like major profit off of this, just simply that they're engaged in the trafficking of baby parts. I think that's already been shown. That's already been demonstrated. So whether they're making a ton of money or just setting off some costs or whatnot, you know, doesn't really change the story that much. But I think that people have, I think that Cecile Richards is emphasizing that they're a nonprofit because people think that means they're not making much money. Well, in fact, this is one of the, I mean, this is a huge, huge nonprofit corporation, and over half of their funding comes from taxpayers. So we all have a very vested interest in finding out precisely what's going on with this organ trafficking business and, you know, how deep it goes, what the regulations are, what the internal controls are, what the price variations are, you know, all these, and what they do with the body parts when they go to these for-profit companies, like how are they using them and, you know, what type of disclosure do these people have to show? So we have literally hundreds of questions that need answers still on this story.
Cecile Richards is really in a completely untenable position, isn't she, with regard to the press?
Well, she's in a very difficult position because her organization has been busted for all to see, joking and haggling and chit-chatting over salad about some pretty gruesome stuff. And it's the type of conversation that completely contradicts everything Planned Parenthood tries to say about how these aren't children, these aren't humans, and they're helping women and all this type of stuff. But having said that, Cecile Richards has some pretty big allies. I mean, they are a major, major funder of Democratic politicians. You've got all the Democratic Party there to help out. And then also, for some reason or another, our sort of major media are very fond of Planned Parenthood, and they give them very favorable coverage. So she's in a difficult position, but she has some pretty heavy hitters getting her back.
So let's talk about a few other related issues to this, if we could, Molly. You mentioned just a few minutes ago, perhaps more than a dozen videos yet to be released. Even Planned Parenthood is warning its supporters thousands of hours of video may have been taken, access to invitation-only conferences, maybe even to the back rooms of abortion clinics. What should we expect?
Well, that wasn't all they warned their supporters about. One of the most interesting things I thought about that warning was that they said you might have racially sensitive topics coming into play. So they must already know that there's something to do with racial issues that will make them look very bad. And I don't know what that is, but they know that a lot of bad things are coming out. I'm sure they surveyed their affiliates and their clinics to say, you know, if you think you had any contact with these people, please tell us immediately so we can get ahead of this story. And I think these journalists are keeping them on their toes. They've got this sort of drip, drip, drip method of putting something out, letting Planned Parenthood respond, and then using that response to make them look even worse in the next video. So it'll be very interesting to see what comes to play. I mean, I frankly think that what's been shown already is significant enough as to not just warrant, but require some pretty serious investigation and audit of where, federal and state funds are going and how they help out this organ harvesting, group. But if there is more, I mean, any more would be really bad. And to know that there could be as many as a dozen additional angles to this is really going to be interesting.
There's also been news of large, very large, some multinational corporations saying, yes, we did give money to Planned Parenthood in the past. They're kind of saying, look, just don't go through the records. We're telling you right now we gave money, but we're not anymore. What effect is that having?
That's another. I find this story fascinating, too, because usually when corporations stop giving money to a group because of a political problem, it's major news. In this case, you had multiple big corporations, and I'm totally spacing on what they were, but like Xerox, I think Coca-Cola, big names saying, take us off your list. We don't want to be affiliated with you anymore. And it wasn't major news, again, because the media are really struggling with how to cover a story that is so bad for a group that they love so much. But if, you might remember that just a few years ago, the Komen Foundation tried to distance itself from Planned Parenthood because they were losing out on funding from pro-lifers. Well, when they did that, the media and Planned Parenthood worked together to launch this hysterical campaign against Komen Foundation. And within days, Komen relented and said, okay, we'll keep giving you the money. Well, now you see these major corporations saying, you're cut off. We don't want anything to do with you if you're involved in this organ harvesting. So this is these are different waters for Planned Parenthood, which is used to being, able to sort of not extort money, but really pressure corporations and foundations to keep giving them money, and they're used to getting a lot of taxpayer funding, and now all of a sudden all of that is threatened. I think we should expect to see Planned Parenthood in full panic mode for the weeks to come as they fight for credibility, funding, and all these things that they're used to having fairly easily.
What about petitions to defund Planned Parenthood to take away the, what is it, $500 million-plus that they get in taxpayer money?
Yeah, they get $540 million a year in state and federal funding, and that has always been unpopular, but because of their political, they're very smart about how they give political contributions to politicians. They've been able to keep that spigot flowing, even though I will point out there are community health centers that don't terminate pregnancies or kill unborn children that could get this funding. And these community health centers, even if you wanted to give the same amount of funding, these community health centers are much more diverse in terms of the populations they serve and whatnot. You are starting to see people clamor. There are petitions, there are calls for the Republicans to finally take action on Planned Parenthood funding. I am not entirely sure that the Republican Party can figure out how to take a very popular issue and actually pass legislation on that, but there will be a lot of pressure to come, and I think you'll see a lot of rhetoric from the major political candidates. You have sort of stalwart pro-lifers like Carly Fiorina making this a major point of her campaign, and even pro-choice politicians like Donald Trump are saying that they think that Planned Parenthood should be defunded. So, just across the spectrum, you're seeing that this will be something that people are calling for.
Finally, is Cecile Richards going to be doing any more of these Sunday morning interviews, or does she have a choice?
She had to do this interview. She normally does a much better job. She did the best that she could do. She sat down with one of the most friendly interviewers in the business, literally a former Clinton aide who's a Clinton Foundation donor. I think if she really wants to put some criticism to rest, she's going to actually have to sit down for an interview with someone who's not so much in the pocket of the pro-choice movement. And also, as journalists are able to dig into the actual records, or as maybe congressional investigators require Planned Parenthood to put some proof where their talking points are, you'll see that she will have to do some more. She'll have to do some more thoughtful interviews. What we saw this weekend was just robotic repetition of talking points. That's not going to cut it in the days to come.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a senior editor at The Federalist, a guest on television network programs AC360, Reliable Sources, Fox and Friends, and The Kelly File. You can read her latest column, The Four Most Embarrassing Things Cecile Richards Said in Defense of Planned Parenthood, at our website, issuesztc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Molly, thank you very much.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Pastor Tom Baker, as we do every week. We're going to teach a Sunday school lesson on the return of Jesus, the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. Pastor Tom Baker's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We'll be right back.
Doesn't even sit down and try to figure it out. They just sold me out for a few shekels more. Didn't even think twice for a few shekels more.
Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.